Hi, I'm Aman.
And I'm Lena.
And this is Grounded Geeks,
where we make the geek world relevant.
So, today, Lena, super exciting thing we're discussing. Well, it was exciting for me.
Yeah, it's exciting for me too. What do you mean?
All right. Well, it was exciting for me.
It's exciting for me too. I don't understand.
Okay, great. I don't know.
We're both excited.
We're going to be discussing what if.
What if? ... Question mark. I don't think I like that. I wish they hadn't included the ... Whatever.
Actually, it's based off of the comic series that Marvel does.
Of course it is. Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So like I remember as a kid reading a number of different What If comics. Mm-hmm. They had this one What If comic that I remember where what if Dr. Erskine, the guy who developed the super soldier serum, didn't
Zola?
Die.
Zola?
Huh?
Wait. No. Oh, the other. Sorry. I got confused. Erskine. Got it. Yeah. If he didn't die. Yeah.
If he didn't die. All right. And it was like then looking into the future, i.e. the future in this case was the 90s. And what they played out in that comic was that the super soldier serum was then replicated and created a super soldier army, which helped win World War II. But then it became commercialized and American society turned into sort of the haves and the have nots. All right. So it was basically people who could afford the enhancements and those who couldn't. And that's how society was stratified. All right. It was a really interesting take in how Steve Rogers reacted to that after coming out of the ice. And he was like, not okay with it. And it basically ends with him very publicly taking a reverse formula for the super soldier serum to be like, no, this is not how unequal we should be as a society. You know, so that was interesting. And so I was really excited with this What If show
that is coming out. Definitely what would happen nowadays.
Absolutely.
Because I mean, like, that is like that. That's exactly what would happen if that were the case, because I was just reading an article this morning about how the Moderna, that company Moderna, who makes the Moderna vaccines, they apparently are just choosing to mainly sell their vaccines to wealthy countries. They are charging poorer countries more and making them wait longer for vaccines.
Interesting.
It's so fucked up, man. Like,
that
it's just,
is pretty fucked
like,
up.
Like, are you kidding? This is Moderna's the one that Dolly Parton backed, and she is such a huge philanthropist, and like she would not be okay with this. And like, I mean, this is just so stupid. So that makes me so mad. Like, we are not gonna be done with this stupid pandemic if we are just picking and choosing who gets to, or like just picking the people who can pay the most money. And like, this is so garbage, man. Everything about anyway.
You know, it was, this brings to mind something that Bernie Sanders was advocating way back in the day before he ran for president. Mm-hmm. You know, back in his younger years, when I assume he was still in his 90s, he actually had a very interesting program that I had heard about, or something that he was trying to do that I heard about. And it was basically a bounty program for developing medicines. And the idea behind it was that you develop a medicine or a medication or whatever, all right, and the government would pay you a large lump sum of money to address a particular disease, to develop a particular kind of vaccine, to develop a particular, whether it's a cure or treatment or what have you, you know, and companies would then get the reward from this bounty program, but then manufacturing of it would immediately be open to anyone, bringing down the cost of medicines for anyone. And I thought that was a brilliant, brilliant idea. I don't know why it hasn't been implemented yet. And the idea would have been
America cares about money only.
Yeah. And you know, it would have been one of those things where developing medications would, the cost of research and development would have been paid for from the bounty program.
Yeah.
Right. But then the actual cost of manufacturing for consumers would have been significantly lower. And that could have been something, theoretically at least, that would have brought down the price of medicine.
Yeah.
And I thought that, I don't know, that just came to mind, you know, and basically it would have meant that Moderna, Pfizer, when they developed their vaccines that anybody could then manufacture it and sell it at a super low cost.
Yeah.
But obviously that's not the world we live in. What if?
Yeah.
What if we actually tackled skyrocketing medical costs?
What if we actually lived in an equitable and just society that cares about people?
Oh, so funny. So funny. Yeah. They should do that and do an episode on that.
Mm-hmm. All right. But back to what if the Disney Plus Marvel series. What was your favorite episode?
Oh, man. You know,
if you want me to go through them, I have them like listed out on the site. If you need a refresher.
No, it's more just like hard to pick. I absolutely loved the Doctor Strange episode. I unfortunately have to say that the Star-Lord T'Challa episode was not amongst my favorites.
Yeah, it was all right.
I think he was probably my favorite character, and his impact on the broader galaxy as Star-Lord is my favorite, but that episode was not my favorite.
Yeah. Something about that episode was like missing.
But I think I gotta give it to episode one, Captain Carter. Yes.
I really liked Captain Carter. The Doctor Strange one was really good, but made me very sad. The zombies one was like, I was on the edge of my seat. So that was fun. And then the penultimate episode, What If Ultron Won? That was so good. They should have just done that for the actual movie. Like,
yeah.
That would have been amazing.
Yes, but then the Avengers would have been over.
Yeah.
Then, you know, the bad guy would have won. And
no, then obviously
with no recourse. No recourse, you know?
Yeah.
Like that universe was over.
But the idea of Ultron having all the Infinity Stones, I was like, oh my God. This is insane. Insane.
Yeah.
That was absolutely for that split second when they brought Thanos, I was like, oh shit, it's going down. And then he just destroys him. I was like,
I know a lot of people had beef with that, but I didn't. I was like, no, that's exactly how it would happen. Because I was like, Ultron,
makes sense. Yeah,
that makes perfect sense. Ultron would have just acted before Thanos would have even gotten a lay of the land.
Yeah.
And that would have been it. I was like, yep, that's exactly how shit would have gone down.
Yeah.
But the Captain Carter episode, I think the elephant in the room with that one is that Peggy Carter was a better super soldier than Steve Rogers. She overall, even though a lot of things ended up exactly in the same spot as Captain America, the first Avenger movie, she did more, you know?
Yeah.
She had less failures happen. She didn't
end up
in the
ice or anything, right?
No, but she ended up going through this portal fighting this monster.
Yeah.
Remember with the tentacles?
Oh, and then she ended up in the future. Right, right.
A lot of people were like, wait, so what happened there? Why would she end up in the future? No time seems to have passed for her at all. And I'm like, come on, guys. Space-time warping. Like, you don't know what dimension she got sent to. Maybe time moves a lot slower over there.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Maybe the traveling warped time. Like there have been studies shown that people who are traveling outside of any gravity wells age slower than people in gravity wells. If you travel faster, all right, if you move faster through space and time, you will age slower in relation to everybody on Earth, let's say. All right. So like there's all sorts of things to explain that. It didn't bother me at all.
Yeah, that didn't bother me either.
But overall, like before she ended up through the portal, she was able to stop Red Skull from getting the Tesseract in the first place, which is how Steve Rogers ended up as
in the ice or whatever.
As pseudo in the What If episode, in the Hydra Stomper, because the Tesseract was the thing that was powering it.
Right.
Yeah. But yes, the Tesseract in the movie, in the Captain America movie, is how he ended up falling in ice. But I thought that she was able to thwart a lot more plans, and it was fantastic.
Yeah, it was good. She was a better captain.
She was a better super soldier. Yeah.
Also, like that they went with Captain Carter, made some alliteration happen there.
Yeah,
I was like, is she going to be like Captain Britain?
Well, they did say that she was Captain Britain.
Oh, yeah.
But people then referred to her as Captain Carter because, hey, let's
Let's
not get ourselves, that flows off the tongue a lot smoother.
Sounds way cooler. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So yes. I think we got to talk about Doctor Strange and grief.
Yes. That was really sad. It was sad to watch that, because they, you know how they just kept showing him like Groundhog going back Day. In time. Yeah. It was so awful. That whole sequence where they are just showing, why am I totally blanking on her name? Christine.
Yeah.
Chris, are you sure it's Christine or Christina?
No, I'm not sure.
Damn it. Now I have to look it up. I'm on. Hold on. Hold, please.
All right. Holding.
Oh, you're right. It is Christine. Okay. We good.
Christine Palmer. Yes. Dr. Palmer.
Dr. Palmer.
Yep.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. When that whole sequence of just watching her die over and over and over again. Awful.
And it probably made his trauma worse than exactly. just letting it go. And I think they showed that actually by having Dr. Strange split in two because of the time mm-hmm. stone.
Yeah.
And exploring the different possibilities.
Yeah.
Which does make me wonder about that scene in Infinity War where Doctor Strange uses the time stone not to necessarily travel in time, but to look at different possibilities, 14 million different possibilities.
Oh.
All right. Remember where he goes like all weird and
Yeah. No,
and I remember. They're like, does your friend normally do that?
Yeah. Wait, but what are you wondering specifically about that scene?
About how looking at all of those possible futures affected Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. because he saw everybody, the entire galaxy universe lose mm-hmm. 14 million times.
Yeah. Yeah.
Before finding the one where they won.
Where they won.
You know, and even if he does find that one possibility where victory is possible.
Uh-huh.
All right. That. There's no way that didn't affect him
mm-hmm.
to see how close they were to losing it all.
Yeah. 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 That's a lot. Like, do you think he's going to therapy?
I don't think they're going to explore that, because that might be too deep for the PG-13 rated MCU. At least too
deep. Way too deep.
Yeah.
They could have an entire series where it's just Doctor Strange meeting with his therapist to explore.
Yeah, they really
just trauma and grief and shit. Wow. Yeah. It's a lot.
But I just thought that was an amazing, I mean, as depressing as it was, I thought it was amazing.
Mm-hmm. I agree. The episode that was, it was titled What If the World Lost Its Mightiest Heroes, where all the different Avengers were basically getting killed off.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Something about that, I was like, eh. I had a very angry reaction to it.
Yeah. Unfortunately, same here.
It ended up being Hank Pym?
Yeah.
Why? Why was he doing that again?
Like, I can't even because remember. Because Hope Van Dyne decided to join S.H.I.E.L.D. and she died in service.
Right.
And Hank Pym, who already had beef with S.H.I.E.L.D., just got super, super pissed off.
Yeah.
And decided to basically take on the persona of Yellowjacket, which in the Ant-Man movie, they made it the other nondescript bad guy.
Yeah. Right.
But uh-huh. in the comics, Yellowjacket was a alternate persona mm-hmm. that Hank Pym took on after having a total mental breakdown for some reason or other.
Yeah. See, another form of grief just wreaking havoc on the world.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's a lot of exploration of grief, I'm realizing, with Marvel characters. Same with WandaVision. WandaVision
was thinking all about that too. Yeah. I was thinking that too. Yeah, I agree the episode was meh, but it still makes you think afterwards.
Yeah.
You know, which was nice. Interesting.
Right.
Yeah. I thought that was still a very good episode. Party Thor episode was just a lot of fun, I thought.
That was fun. That was really fun. I loved, I mean, having Captain Marvel show up to just be like, dude, yeah, grip, please. I'm calling your mom.
it definitely felt like they nerfed her powers, though.
What do you mean nerfed it?
Like, she didn't seem as powerful in that episode as she was in Infinity War, or even in the Captain Marvel movie, or in Endgame, you know? Like, she should be able to completely ruffle stomp Thor. in my opinion. And instead, she was in the fighting kind of defeated because Thor just put Mjolnir on her chest, basically.
Yeah.
And pinned her to the ground. And I was like, that's lame.
Yeah, that was a little, But then if Mjolnir wasn't able to do that, then what's the point of Mjolnir? Like, I don't know. What's supposed to be more powerful? This is kind of my issue in general with a lot of Marvel comics stuff. Like, there's too many superlatives. There's too many people who are like the strongest, the most powerful, the smartest, you know, all the stuff. And it's just like, okay, but like, when we actually rank everyone, who is the strongest? Who is the smartest?
Really is, you know?
Who should be able to beat what? So sure they've come up with some sort of like key chart type thing in the writer's room of the MCU, specifically MCU. Yes. Okay. Yes. I'm sure they're doing that for their own sanity. Or at least they should be, because hello.
They really should be. Yeah. Or have a very, very clear set of rules. Like, Hulk is strongest under these circumstances.
Yeah.
But only under these specific circumstances.
Yeah.
You know, which actually my mind is immediately now going to the penultimate episode, as well as Loki and how Kang the Conqueror fits into all of this.
Yeah.
So we did.
We did speak
ad nauseum about how you and I did not really enjoy Loki, how it was kind of boring.
Yeah, I think we are literally the only two people who thought that, because everyone else seems to have somehow loved the show.
Yeah, I mean, there were great parts of it. Like, the acting, I thought, was fantastic.
There were moments,
There were great moments, you know? Owen Wilson was... He had great banter with Loki. I wish there was more of it.
The fact that they did not at any point in the show include him on an actual jet ski is a missed opportunity.
But it is a huge, huge missed opportunity.
One of the top five missed opportunities, I think, in cinematic history. It's really sad.
But the guy who plays Kang, why am I forgetting his name?
The actor's name?
Yeah, the actor's name.
Jonathan Majors.
Jonathan Majors. Wow. What an amazing performance. A lot of monologuing, but I blame that on the writers. But his performance of it was fantastic.
Yeah.
All right. And in that show, one of the things in that last episode, basically, second last episode, one of the things that they talk about is that the timeline that they're on is the only one. Kang had successfully eliminated the multiverse through time traveling, because he eliminated the choices that would have resulted in branching out realities.
He already did that in Loki? See, I don't even know what happened in Loki. I don't understand. So he did that in Loki?
He did that. He had done that. That was the whole premise of the TVA, was that they were going around and clipping the branches of the timeline.
Right.
And that would basically result in
the
multiverse not existing.
Okay.
All right. Which means that the Watcher is only watching the one universe.
Right.
All right. But so a lot of people are like, well, how does that work with what if there was only one thing?
Mm-hmm.
Now, with Kang, when they killed Kang, because Kang was sort of living, or rather he who remains, I guess, because he wasn't, that's not officially Kang the Conqueror. When Lady Thor killed him, all right, basically all the work that he had done to eliminate the rest of the multiverse and maintain the one timeline was completely unraveled, and the multiverse came into existence. So it's one of those weird things where we are viewing it from a time perspective of this happened, then that happened.
Mm-hmm.
But really, everything happened all at once. The moment Kang was killed, all right, the entire multiverse came into being all at once, and it's as though none of it ever went away. Exactly.
It's as if like it had never gone away, the multiverse.
Exactly.
Okay.
That's what would have happened, because all of that culling of the timelines would have happened from the very beginning, which means that the multiverse would have started from the very beginning already. So it is one of those weird mind trippy, sciencey, philosophical things where it's like, if you start doing things outside of time, it's in fact all happening at once.
And that's why at the end of Loki, when Loki's like finds Owen Wilson's character and what, like, they don't even know who he is.
Exactly.
Right. Okay.
Exactly. Because the entire timeline, even for the TVA, changed.
Right.
What they experienced had changed. What Loki experienced didn't change because he was observing all of it in that little pocket space with Kang. Yeah. All right.
And oh, shoot. What was going to be my question? And now there's going to be some multiversal war. According to the end of Loki.
That's what they alluded to. Yep. Where different Kangs are fighting each other.
That's totally going to be the next phase of Marvel, right?
I mean, yeah. I mean, Kang the Conqueror is the big guy. And it's one of, talking about power levels.
Yeah.
All right. Like, the Watcher is more powerful than Kang. However, Kang figured out how to manipulate time with a very, very deep understanding of it, which is why he was probably able to do all of this without the Watcher even realizing.
Wait, the Watcher is more powerful than Kang?
I would say he is, just because he's got more powers.
But what is the point of the Watcher?
To watch. He's an observer.
But what is, like, the point if he can't even interfere? Which, well, we can talk about the finale of What If. He does interfere. Because he was like, okay, shit, this is bad now.
It's, well, I mean, basically it hit the point where his purpose of existing, all right, was coming to an end if he didn't do something. That is what triggered him to finally do something.
Is he, I like, mean, that supposed to symbolize God? Like, what is he, like,
you in know? A sense, a kind of God, but I think more so the Watcher takes the place of the audience, really, of like, I'm observing this happen.
Yeah.
I mean, the Watcher, you know, he fought Ultron and almost lost, but he did lose.
Yeah.
But he put up a damn good fight because Ultron showed up at the Watcher's house. Because he broke through. Yeah, that was, I thought that was an amazing moment in the penultimate episode.
Yeah.
Where the Watcher is narrating what's happening to Ultron in this universe. And then Ultron all of a sudden is like,
who's there? Like, it was so creepy.
I see you. And Jeffrey Wright, the amazing actor that he is just played that so well. He was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
What's happening? What do you mean?
This isn't supposed to happen. This isn't possible.
This is impossible. What's happening?
Yeah, that was so good. That was great. What about the episode, by the way, about Killmonger rescuing Tony Stark?
Oh, that was very interesting, I thought. It was just so interesting how somebody with a slight change in circumstances, but maintaining the same goals. All right? Yeah. His but goal also was changes, still,
like, he stopped Iron Man from, right? Did he ever turn into Iron Man? Because he rescued Tony, so he never did.
Tony never turned into Iron Man, and he convinced Tony instead to build a robot army.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so interesting. So
Justin Hammer's plan, actually.
Yeah. So that episode, the Killmonger episode, and the one about what if Thor were an only child, I thought it was really interesting how it's basically talking about how our relationships change us and can change the course of our future. And if Thor didn't have his brother Loki, he would be a completely different person. And if Stark didn't go through that whole, like, being kidnapped and everything, and that it was an awful experience, but, like, it also birthed Iron Man, that whole thing.
Yeah. So, and he and Tony Stark then continued to be an arms dealer, a weapons manufacturer. You know, he kept at it. World peace through weapons.
Yeah
I threw up the peace sign, by the way, for all of our listeners.
Yeah. It was very interesting. I thought they were all going to be sort of standalone episodes.
Yeah.
And then later on, obviously with the penultimate, as well, not even necessarily with penultimate, but like the very finale episode, then you realize, oh, okay, the Watcher is going to bring together these different characters that he's seeing. into this. By the way, I heard that, so you know, in the finale we saw that he also pulled Gamora.
Yeah.
So I heard there was supposed to be an episode with Tony and Gamora, like Iron Man and Gamora. And yeah, they had to pull it, and they're gonna like squeeze that into season two instead.
That's so lame. I did feel that that was very weird.
Yeah, everyone thought it was weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also my issue with the finale episode, mm-hmm. it's like, why these people? Why would you not pull like
Captain Marvel?
Seven Captain Marvels.
Yeah.
You know? Or like a Captain Marvel, a nice Thanos, and maybe a smart Hulk.
Right. Like, I mean, there's lots of different ways we could have done this. Like, you're the Watcher. You literally see all of it. Why these people?
Yeah.
There wasn't enough justification for all of them.
The only person that made sense on that team, in my opinion, Doctor Strange.
Oh,
like, I'm Captain sorry. Like Carter. Captain Carter is amazing. All right.
Yeah.
But
Doctor Strange,
in this particular circumstances, would you not have rather had a Captain Marvel?
Also, when they hatched their whole plan and they're like, we're going to steal the Soul Stone. I'm like, why don't you go for the Time Stone? Like Time Stone is always the issue. Because you can just go back in time.
I think there was something about the Soul Stone being needed to power the Infinity Stone Crusher.
Whatever.
Yeah. I think that's what it was. And honestly, I still don't understand the Soul Stone. Why is it that, this is so important? Like, why?
Yeah.
Why? I mean, this is a whole different thing, but like, I think souls are developed as we live our lives, you know? Like, I don't understand the purpose of the Soul Stone.
Yeah. I honestly, most times I can't even list all the Infinity Stones because I'm like, there's the Mind Stone, Soul Stone, Time Stone, Power
Reality.
Stone.
Reality. Yeah, Power Stone. Reality.
What's the sixth one?
Soul.
I said soul already.
Oh. Time, mind, space.
Soul. Oh, space. I didn't say space.
Space.
Is space the Tesseract?
Yes.
Okay.
Which I think originally the Tesseract was supposed to be a cosmic cube in the original Avengers movie.
Yeah.
And then afterwards they turned it into the space
stone. They're like, never mind, it's a space stone.
Never mind, it's a space stone now.
Yeah. But anyway, okay. So in terms of overarching themes to take away from What If?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
That even though people are affected by their circumstances, there is still a core.
Yeah.
That exists to people's personalities and who they are. You know, Steve Rogers didn't become a super soldier, but he still found his way to still being a hero.
Yeah.
And being a hero, you know, I thought that was great. And who else? Like, a psychopath, no matter what you throw at him.
Yeah.
No matter what set of circumstances.
I mean, yes, Doctor Strange turned not necessarily evil, but he destroyed himself, right?
He did.
But in the end, he did still save the universe, you know?
And he did. And more than that, though, one of the core parts of Doctor Strange's personality is hubris, all right?
Yeah.
He is always the guy who's like, I can fix this. I'm better.
Yeah.
I'm smarter. I can fix this, whether it's brain surgery or magic or whatever. And that was the thing, is that the circumstance of him and Christine, the thing that didn't change in the Doctor Strange episode of What If, was the thing that changed was that he and Christine Palmer did not break up.
Yeah.
Earlier. Mm-hmm. Right. That was the circumstance that didn't change.
Yeah.
And it was still his core characteristic of hubris that then led him down this path of then absorbing every monster in the cosmos. Yeah. Like, what? Ew, what?
Ew.
Like,
I know.
Dude, tentacles. Like, ew. Which also makes me wonder, was that the same tentacle monster that Captain Carter fought?
I don't know. Lots of questions there, actually.
Yeah, a lot of questions. To be
explored. Yeah.
Yeah. So whole H.P. Lovecraft thing.
Yeah. I wonder if there's an
H.P. Lovecraft universe where all these monsters are coming from.
Ew, I'm sure. Where it's like monsters and racism. Ha ha
ha. Monsters, Inc.
He was wildly racist, H.P. Lovecraft.
Yes.
Yeah, I think the big overarching theme that I kind of took from the show is that, I guess, no matter how small you think a decision or choice that you make is, like, it can have ripples of effect much ripples, later,
man.
Like something it's that you don't even realize, like some choice that you make today, maybe you don't see the result of it until 5 years from now, 10 years, you know? Yeah, and so,
absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, we are constantly creating and building up our own stories in our universes and whatever. So it was really interesting to kind of like pick certain scenarios and dive deep into it and just be like, oh yeah, what if that had happened to that character
instead? Yeah. I almost wish they had left it as an anthology series and not had it all tied together.
Yeah. I didn't think it needed that. So
I didn't think it needed that either.
Yeah.
But it was still fun, especially the second to last episode just made it a lot of fun.
That was so fun. The second to last episode was definitely, I think it's by far, I would guess it's like most people's favorite.
Yeah.
Like, what definitely. If Ultron won? Oh my God.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess the other big theme for me, big takeaway, especially considering everything that happened in Loki, is, you know, theoretical physics is a motherfucker.
Yep. Yeah. And on that note, as always, everyone, thanks for listening to Grounded Geeks.
We'll catch you next time.